1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 20. God says here, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. God says it's a sin not to pray for each other. If you stopped right there and just meditated on that, we could have an invitation and go home. We're not going to, but you could. Because very few Christians spend time praying for each other, especially when we're in church. I'm not talking praying while we're in church. I'm talking when we gather around the Word of God together and our kinship and family and brotherhood is all because God saved us and His blood washed away our sin and we're children of God. The kinship and the family and the closeness should encourage us to pray for one another. But God says here, it's a wonderful verse to take. I hope you mark it in your Bible and look at it later. But God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I'm convinced as a pastor, one of the greatest things I do is pray. I'm not a great prayer, but one of the most important uses of my time is praying for our people and praying for you. Now you say, well, Samuel was a prophet and he's supposed to pray for the people. When you read your Bible, I hope you read it as God speaking to you. No, I don't think this is a verse for a pastor only. I think this is for God's people. And God says one thing that we should be doing is praying for each other. And that's why I have no problem interpreting this verse saying it's a sin for a Christian not to pray for other Christians. Well, do I have to pray for everybody that's saved? No. But those that you serve with and those that you come together with, I would think they should mean something to you. Especially, first person on my prayer list is my wife. Next one is my children. And then I go down and then I don't mind when you move around, but I kind of work my way through the pews and I think who's sitting here, and then that's how I kind of go through the prayers, you know, as you sit there. And so please don't switch from side to side. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. They were over here last week and now they're over. No, that'll happen as things fill up. Pastor Owens taught me the greatest expression of love from one Christian to another is, I prayed for you. And I've heard some people call that, oh, that's just a cop-out. I've heard that as an expression of love, and I don't think that praying for each other is a cop-out. God tells us to pray without ceasing. I want to examine this tonight, this praying for each other, and God gives us a pattern. When you pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean we're supposed to vain repetition pray the same thing over and over again. But God does say, Luke 11 is midnight praying. Praying at midnight for the needs of others. I have a friend on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Lend me 3 loaves. And we've looked at that and that parable that Jesus is teaching. Luke 11 teaches midnight praying. So when you get up in the middle of the night, you can pray. And then Luke 18 teaches us daytime praying. Avenge me of my adversary, the widow. So you pray in the daytime for your needs and injustices that have happened to you. Lord, this has happened. This isn't right. Lord, please. And you give it to the Lord. But midnight praying is Luke 11. And daytime praying is Luke 18. So if we pray nighttime, daytime, Luke 11, Luke 18, we're not going to look at that tonight. I'd like you to take your Bible and go to Colossians chapter 1. Go to Colossians chapter 1. So pray without ceasing, I think, includes praying for the needs of others. I think it includes praying for our own needs. Then somebody said, well, I don't know how to pray for other people. I remember as a young Christian in the Marine Corps, I would as we would pray, I learned a lot about praying with older Christians. I would go over to their house and I'd never heard somebody said, we're going to meet at our house and we're going to pray for America. I'd never heard that before. What do you mean pray for America? And then I heard older Christians get on and I heard them weep for our country. I'd never heard anybody cry when they pray. You say, well, that's common. Everybody. I'd never heard that before. That's fine. I was 20 years old. And then I heard them start lifting up the sins of our country. And God, I'm sorry we've sinned this way as a nation. I'd never heard people pray for America. It taught me as a young Christian. It taught me. Here, if somebody said, well, I don't know how to pray, I think we could use the Apostle Paul, what God showed him through the Apostle Paul as the pattern for the New Testament. Look at Colossians chapter 1. You're there. Look at verse number 3, and we're going to look at one of the patterns of prayer tonight. Watch this. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He was praying for the converts there in Colossae, all right, in the church. Look down at verse 9. He's going to start one of the model prayers. There's three prayers in the New Testament from the Apostle Paul. Two are in Ephesians. One is in Colossians. Colossians 1:9 is where he starts praying for his converts and the people in the church. And if I wanted to use a section of Scripture to say, you could take Colossians 1:9, the section I'm going to show you, about four verses, and you could take and open up your Bible, and then you could think about your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you could pray through this pattern. You say, what are you talking about? Let me show you. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The first thing that he prays, that we should be praying for each other. If I could use somebody, anybody in here tonight, but let's say I use Brother Dorsey, okay? Let's say I'm praying for Brother Dorsey. I should be able to go to Colossians and I should say, Lord, please, just like Paul prayed, fill them with the knowledge of your will. I could pray this way. Lord, please help Brother Dorsey, strengthen him, and Lord, show him your will. Help him to do what you saved him to do. And you say, and watch this, once I'm done praying that, there's a whole list here in Colossians of what I can pray for him, then I can move to the next person. But the first prayer, the first thing that God says is appropriate to prayer, to pray for, is, do you ever pray for each other? You ever watch a Christian struggle and you know they're struggling with God's will? They're hanging around the wrong crowd. Their church is off and on. You know what I mean? It's kind of hit and miss. And look, they don't need your criticism. They need your prayer. Dear God, show them. Lord, help them. They're struggling. Lord, if we don't hurry up, Lord, they're going to get out of church and they're going to be another statistic. And we don't have enough Christians to quit. Amen. We don't have enough of anything. Dear God, please don't let Satan get a victory in their life. Fill them with the knowledge of your will. Show them why you saved them. Lord, help them to do what you want them to do. And this is all in prayer. Lord, help them, fill them with the knowledge of your will. That's the first thing that we're supposed to pray for each other. Lord, help them. Show them your will for their life. Help them not to do their own thing. Help them to do what you saved them to do. That's the first thing. Watch this. As I work my way through Colossians here, watch this. It says that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Have you ever prayed for somebody? Here's the second thing. I took this passage of Scripture and I made out a prayer list. And when I pray for another Christian, this is the prayer list I use. You say, where'd you get this from? I got it from the Bible. And God says the next thing you pray for them for God to show them His will. Then the next thing is, have you ever prayed for a Christian to be wise? Dear God, help them. What is wisdom? Wisdom is seeing things through the eyes of God. Wisdom is seeing things through God's eyes. In other words, that's not wise because God says it's what fools do. Lord, help them to not be foolish. Lord, help them to give them wisdom, even though they're not asking you for wisdom. Dear God, help them, show them, give them wisdom and understanding. That's how we're supposed to pray for each other. Filling with God's will. Then God says, pray for each other that you get wisdom. Look at the next statement here. Look at verse number 10. that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's his prayer for the church of Colossae, for the Christians. Dear God, please help them today to do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Lord, help them to please you. Lord, they're growing as a Christian, and Lord, they got habits. Lord, they're trying, and I've watched people weep over smoking, and they wish they could give it up. They've been smoking a long time. They're trying. Dear God, help them to do things that are pleasing in your sight. Lord, help them. Show them. They're struggling with their rock music. They want to give it up. They really do. But they've been listening to it for a long time. You say, well, bless God, it's just really, it's not easy for everybody. Dear God, help them to do things that are pleasing in your sight. Help them to walk worthy of what you saved them to do. These are all prayer requests. Somebody said, well, I don't know how to pray for another Christian. Wait a second. This is one thing that you can take in as example as God gives us the pattern through Paul here. Watch this. Look at verse 10 again. Being fruitful in every good work. God bless their labor. God help them as they work. I pray for people as they go soul winning. I pray for my soul winning. Dear Lord, I've been out, knocked on. I've had Saturdays where we've knocked on doors, and there's been nobody home. And the only thing you can rejoice in when you come back is your obedience. Amen? And then I've had days, praise the Lord, where I've gone out, and the Lord gave me the privilege of seeing somebody saved. That's an encouragement. That's something you can't, that's wonderful. Have you ever prayed, though, as we pray for each other, dear God, help them to be fruitful. Lord, bless their labor. Lord, help them as they labor as a Sunday school teacher. Lord, help them as they labor on the bus route. Lord, help them as they work in soul winning. And Lord, help them as they're laboring for you. Lord, help them to bring forth fruit. God says that's what we're supposed to pray for each other. Help them to bring forth fruit. Let them be fruitful. Then, watch this here, verse 10, in every good work, and then look at this, increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm just taking these phrases, just in between the commas here. God says another thing we're supposed to pray for each other is, dear Lord, help them as they read your word, teach them about you. Help them to be what? It says here, increase in the knowledge of God. Lord, teach them about yourself. I'm amazed at the ignorance and stupidity of our culture about God. Amen. People think they know God, and you don't know God outside of the Bible. Amen. You can't. This is the only way you know God. And yet people who don't read the Bible, don't go to church, boy, they're real quick to quote a Bible verse or misquote it, whatever. I've heard more misquotes than I've heard quotes. But if it's a politician, they'll try to quote it to get your vote. It's amazing what people, I know, I'm a God-fearing man. They don't read the Bible. Here, God says, pray for each other. And God says, pray that we can be filled with the knowledge of God. God, fill them. Teach them about yourself. Because what you know about God determines what you believe and how you act. Our theology determines our actions. That's why be filled with the knowledge of God. Watch this. I'm just taking this. Look at verse 11. What else are we supposed to pray for each other? God says, strengthened with all might. Talking about spiritual strength. Dear God, please help them to spiritually grow. Help them to be spiritually strong. If I asked you, do you pray for each other? Is there anybody in this room that's not in your family that you pray for? We're supposed to pray for each other. Well, I just don't know how to do that. Wait a second. God gives us a pattern how to pray for each other. I could take it. I'm not going to. I'll mention it tonight so you can look at it on your own. But Ephesians has two prayers. One for believing the truth and one for living the truth. This is just one example of a prayer you could turn to and then think of the people that we call brother and sister in Christ and pour out before the Lord. Because God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in not praying or ceasing to pray for you. Look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might, watch this, according to His glorious power, unto all patience. Lord, please give them patience. Help them not to... I came here to... There's a reason we sing the song. I love that song. It's commitment. Lord, help them to... Lord, help them in the hard times not to quit. I've seen a lot of Christians quit. I've often wondered, was anybody praying for them? Somebody says, oh, a Christian life. So, and I've only heard a couple of people say this, so I don't hear this a lot, but Christian life, so boring. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, go soul winning once a week. Are you taking everything that God gave you when you got saved? Are you kidding me? We're supposed to read our Bibles every day. Prayer is exciting. Prayer isn't, but because it's not organized, it's boring. So ask somebody to pray, and normally about 5 minutes, they're... They're either doing this or they're short-circuiting. All I'm trying to do is help you tonight with one aspect of your prayer life. And you could take your Bible and you could open it up and you could think about somebody else in the church and you could pour out your heart before them, before God, for them. God says, pray for them for patience and long-suffering. With joyfulness. Pray for their joy. You say, why is this important? The other two prayers, and we're not going to look at those tonight, but the other two prayers is Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. That's a prayer list. And Ephesians 3 starts at verse 14. You can look at those later, but you say, why is this important? Would you take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 11? Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 11. Remember, if I love you, I'll pray for you. I'm going to take time to lift your name up before the Lord, before His throne, when there's nobody else around. I'm going to take my time. That's an expression of love if I'm praying for you. And I'm going to ask God to help you. And I'm going to intercede for you. Praise God, the Lord Jesus is always interceding for us. But I'm going to take time and pray for you. Why is this important? Isaiah 45, 11. I hope you look at this later. But watch this. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and His Maker. Watch. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons. And look at the last part of the verse. And concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. What a verse. God says, concerning my children, hit your knees and ask me to work on their behalf. You say, why is this so important? Because when you don't pray, God says He doesn't work. God says, I'm looking to work through somebody. I'm looking to work through a Christian. But if nobody's praying, I don't work. Concerning the work of my hands, concerning what I want to do here in this county, in the next county, in this church, in that person's life, God says, command me. And that means praying, oh God, please help them. God says, command, ask me. Because when you don't pray, I don't work. I think praying for each other is one of the most important things that we do. It does things. Watch this. Christians that don't pray for each other normally have time to fight. Amen. But when we're praying for each other, dear God, help them to grow in spiritual will. Lord, help them to show them what you saved them for. Lord, help them to be fruitful. And you go down that prayer list. We got a big job, don't we? If all I focused on was soul winning, when God says, give the gospel to every creature, I got a big job of just soul winning. But God says, in my personal life as a Christian, I have a big prayer list. I'm supposed to. And I love this verse, because when you don't pray, God doesn't work. There are some things God's going to accomplish whether we pray about it or not. Let me tell you one of them. The sovereignty of God is going to accomplish the second coming. He's coming again whether you pray for it or not. Now, if you pray for it, you get a reward if you look forward to it, right? 1 Timothy chapter 4. However, there's some things that are going to happen whether you pray for it or not. There's other things in people's lives that will not happen if you don't pray. God's looking to use a Christian that's a yielded vessel that He can work through. God says, all I need is somebody to ask me. That's why when you read the book of Isaiah, there's another verse in there that says He wondered that there was no intercessor. He wondered, nobody's praying. I have nobody to work through. I have nobody that's activating me. That's why praying for each other is so important. Is so important. Next, I call this sermon threefold prayer. The first fold is we're supposed to pray for each other. A little awkwardness here. Take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 6. The next fold of our prayer, and something I've practiced since I've been saved, I've always prayed for my pastor. And it's not because I'm trying to get anything for myself. I think one of the most important things you do for me is pray for me. And I need the prayers. And I until you've been a pastor, you don't have a clue. I'm not knocking you. I thought I knew as an assistant pastor. You don't. When you read Revelation chapter 2, and you read the stars that are in God's hand, the pastor is God's right-hand man, the messenger, the angel of the church, of Ephesus and Smyrna, and all that. The pastor is God's right-hand man. So in the church, guess who Satan tries to take out first? Because if you smite the shepherd, I know I'm an under-shepherd, but if you smite the shepherd, then what? The sheep will scatter. That's what they taught him in the guerrilla warfare. Shoot for the brass. Take out the officer. Amen. That's warfare. We're in spiritual warfare. Guess who Satan's trying to destroy? Because if he can get that one, he can get a lot of them. He can get a lot of them. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Watch this. I'm going to give you a couple of things to pray for me about. I think we're supposed to pray for each other. I think it helps. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then look at verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Have you ever prayed for your pastor that God would help him to speak the Word of God boldly? You say, well, you're supposed to. That just comes with a job. I'm tempted every week to tone it down. A church is based on volunteer giving, right? That's pretty common sense. I'm not looking at the ministry aspect of it. I'm looking at the business aspect of it. And I'm tempted. I have not. You realize this morning's message? I knew this morning's message going to the pulpit was going to be a smoker. I knew the Sunday school lesson was hard. You don't think I was tempted? But I pray every week, dear God, help me with what you want me to preach. Dear Lord, this isn't my church. That's not my book. These aren't my people. They're your people. God, help me, please, as I preach. God forbid that I should preach something that's just what your thinking is and your opinion. I want to preach the Bible. But have you ever prayed? Paul said, I want you to pray for me that God would help me preach the Word of God boldly and give utterance to me. Have you ever prayed for your preacher? Dear God, help him preach the Word. Because, Lord, I know he's tempted not to. And there's not a pastor that's not. Some are little more than others. I'm just trying to bring this across here. Watch this. For utterance, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I wish you'd pray for me for boldness. Number two, take your Bible and go to Psalm 80, verse 17. Psalm 80, verse 17. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. You know what he's praying for? If I combine Psalm 80 with Revelation 2, the pastor is God's right-hand man. He's saying, oh God, give your power to the man of your right hand. Give your power to my man of God. And help him as he preach. Fill him with your power. Why? Because look at the next verse. Look at verse number 18. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. This prayer, you know what he's praying? He's praying, dear God, give my man of God, help him as he preaches. Lord, give, let me be convicted. How many people pray that prayer? When they go to the average non-denominational church, they're told how wonderful they are and how happy God is to have them. Then they come to an old-fashioned Bible-preaching church and they find out they're a sinner. Their sin has separated them from God. And they've never felt conviction before. They're used to the rock concert in church. And they're like, I've never felt conviction before. And they don't respond properly. Here in the Bible, God's people are praying, Lord, let your hand be upon the man of thy right hand, the pastor. And Lord, that we could have revival. I love hard preaching. I love good preaching. Now, I don't get up here and shell the corn every Sunday. Amen. You can't shear the sheep every they'll freeze to death. Amen. Especially in the winter. But I like good hard preaching. I like a preacher to get up. That's right. Shake that tree, rattle that chain, throw that dog, throw the dog outside. Whatever you got to do. I like hard preaching. I think it could be accomplished a lot better and there'd be less people offended. If they were praying for the preacher, dear God, let your hand rest upon my preacher and help him as he preaches the Word of God so we can have revival through the preaching of the Word of God. Watch this. I think that would, if more people were praying for their pastor, I think people, let more people, fewer people would be offended at the preaching of the Word of God. Go to Romans chapter 15, I wish you would pray for me that God would give me boldness in the preaching. I wish you'd pray for me that God would give me His power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And then look at Romans chapter 15, look at verse number 30. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, Romans 15 verse 30. I beseech you or beg you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, watch this, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He's begging for them to pray. He said, if you knew the wickedness that we're facing out here. Then look at verse number 31. I'm in Romans 15, verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe. There's some people, God wants everybody to get saved, but there's some people that won't get saved. And once they find out the simplicity of the gospel, they fight the gospel. And he says, I'm asking for your prayers because there's some lost people that want to kill me. I've only had one life threat on my life in my lifetime. I'm not one of those that has it like Brother Hiles used to tell us. He said, gentlemen, he said, there's not a day that goes by so that I don't get a phone call. Somebody says, I'm going to kill you. He said that. He said, that's just the way I live. Now, I don't want to live that way, okay? I don't... I'm not looking to live that way. However, I've only had one death threat in my life. I've only had one time somebody said, I'm going to kill you. But I know it's prevalent. And here Paul said, please pray for me that I could be delivered from them that don't believe. From lost people. And let me just read to you one more passage, then we'll move on to the next. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 2 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And watch this. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Every time I read that verse, I wouldn't mind passing out some tracts in one of the protests. But I've never seen a crowd that defined more unreasonable and wicked people. I think this next generation that's coming up, dear Lord, help us. Those are college students. They're claiming to be educated. And the things they're doing, it's animal-like. It's like beast behavior. And it's disgusting. It's disgusting. He said, pray for me that we could be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. I wish you would pray for my protection as your pastor. I wish you would pray for that. Next, take your Bible and go to Acts 19. We have just a little bit more time here. I want to show you this. You see, as you do the will of God, word in hell starts to circulate that you're laboring for the Lord. Watch this. Acts chapter 19. Look at verse number 13. Watch this. If you've not read this story, it's just wonderful to think about. I'm at Acts 19. Look at verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. Watch this. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" So these seven Jews walk into the room, and there's this demon-possessed person, and they're looking to cast the demon out, and they say, "We command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out." And that demon looks right at him and says, "I know who Paul is, and I know Jesus, but who are you?" And then he tears them to pieces. He whoops them. I mean, tears their clothes and everything. This is a demon-possessed man. He said, "I know Paul. You know how I knew Paul? Because Paul prayed." He said, "We've heard about Paul in hell. And we know about the Lord Jesus because of the destruction he brought to the kingdom of darkness. We know Jesus. But who are you?" And I wrote down in my Bible, "Does anybody in hell know me? As a child of God. Because of my prayers." When you push against Satan and against the kingdom of darkness, it draws attention in hell. And what I'm trying to do tonight is, my prayer before I started this was, "Lord, help us to see what our priorities as your children are." Prayer is very important, and I'm concerned that it's not taken as seriously as God tells us to take it. So I wanted to preach a message like this tonight. I'll just ask the question, since we're at the passage. I wonder who knows me, but who in hell knows you? Who fears you? Who tries to distract you more? Because when you sit down to pray and you start praying, "Dear God, Lord, destroy that stinking brothel. And Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, please convict that barkeeper. And Lord, I pray that you would work in this town." And you push against satanic forces. God says, "I'm taking notice." In hell, they know you if you pray. If you pray. Threefold prayer. I said we should pray for each other. I said we should pray for the pastor. This is not me trying to get anything for myself, but it is scripture of what I'm teaching you. And number three, what's the third thing? Would you take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 9? Matthew chapter 9, and look at verse number 36. This is the third fold. This is the thing I think. Look, if Jesus himself told us to pray for something, I think that's just amazing that the Lord has a prayer request. It's hard enough getting us to pray, but he says, if you pray, there's one thing I'd like you to pray for. This is one thing I want you to pray for. Look at Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 36. Watch this. But when he saw, I'm in Matthew 9, 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And then this is the prayer request. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." You know what Jesus' prayer request is? "Dear God, please send laborers." Let me broaden that for you a little bit. "Dear God, please, I know there's men in our church that you want to call to preach, and I know that. Lord, call them." I can't call anybody to preach, but I know that. "Lord, I know there's people in our church that someday they're going to surrender to the mission field. Please send forth laborers." And one of two things is going to happen. God's either going to send people here to labor, or God's going to call the laborers out of here. But a church is not supposed to stagnate. And Jesus' prayer request, the one thing he said, "Here's what I want you to pray for when you hit your knees. Would you ask God to call people and move in people's hearts to work?" There'll always be more to do than we can do. I can't do it all. I can't. And I've already lived long enough, and I've watched people destroy their health trying to do it all. I have to get people involved. I have to. In the ministry, I'm not bragging, I've done a lot. The Lord's let me do a lot. As a matter of fact, I've looked at everything that needs to be done around here. And I can't do it. But I've done it before. All except for, praise God, I appreciate the electricians. I hate getting shocked. Okay? But I have been zapped a few times. Because some electrical outlets needed to be put in. All I'm letting you know is this. I've learned a lot in the ministry. Lord's let me do a lot, but I can't do it all. I could run the bus if I wanted to. God did not send me here to run that bus. There's somebody, God is either going to send somebody to our church to run the bus, or God is going to move somebody in our church to run the bus. But I don't think I'm supposed to run the bus. Well, you can run it. Why don't you? I can't do it all. I'm not supposed to do it all. This is not supposed to be a one-man show. A church is as strong as they serve together. And since one person can't do it all, everybody prays, Lord, what do you want me to do? They find their niche, they do their part, and all of us together form a strong church. I'm going to point out a couple of things to you. Caleb preaches in the junior church every Sunday. Does a good job. My family helps with the Sunday school teaching. But Caleb, Josiah, and Jeremiah, they're leaving in 9 months to go to college. They're not going to be here forever. They're not going to be here forever. I've said it before, I can't do it all, and I'm not about to destroy my health trying to do it all. My schedule is wonderfully full, okay? I can fit a little bit more in. But when I go home, I work. When we're here, my wife does an amazing job with the decorations. She's very good at what she does. She's done it a long time. And I love watching her work, and I love watching her creativity. And I love watching her work with the ladies in the church. You say, why are you talking all this? The prayer request of our Savior is to send forth laborers into His harvest. And Jesus said, when you pray, do you ever ask the Lord, ask me to work in this church to send laborers into the harvest? And I fear that it doesn't happen, that it's not happening. Threefold prayer. We're supposed to be praying for each other. I think that's very plainly, and there's examples, and nobody has to labor at it in the Scripture. We're supposed to be praying for, I need your prayer. I need your prayer. I'd be stupid if I said anything different. It's much in the Bible. And I think we're supposed to be praying that the Lord send forth laborers into His harvest. We need laborers. There'll always be more to do than we can get done. It's been that way for over 2,000 years. So we pray the Lord's prayer request. I hope this is a help. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth tonight. Please help us. And Lord, where we're not praying, Lord, please, you're looking for people to work through.